I received a prayer request, and I want to read this to begin the sermon. Because if you think that you have difficulties, when you listen to this story, you may be thankful to God for that your circumstance isn't like this. So this was from my good friend Richard Gaywith up at Tulsa Church of God, and he said, "I'm asking." He sent this from a friend, and this lady Chrissy wrote, "Hi Rick, I'm asking prayers for a 13-year-old girl named Izzy Kitterman. She was in a horrific car accident last Monday. An SUV crashed into a semi. Four people in the vehicle passed away. Although I don't know Izzy personally, I went to high school with her dad, and her family is asking for prayers. Izzy lost her brother and her sister in the car accident, and her mother last year to illness. Izzy is still in critical condition. She has massive spinal injuries, and she's paralyzed from the waist down, and is still on a breathing tube with one lung still not functioning well. The doctors are saying she may never walk again, and I'm asking for prayers that God will heal her lungs so she can breathe on her own, and that He might completely heal her spine so that she can walk again. How would you like to be Izzy?" See what I mean? There are people that suffer a lot of difficulties and a lot of trials, and there are times in our lives when we really don't you get down and you say, "Why me? Why is this happening to me?" And trials can really start getting us down. But frankly, trials are good for us. Now I don't know what God will use Izzy for in the future, but I do believe that in the kingdom, Izzy is going to have quite an ability to have compassion and comfort and to give help in time of trouble. And, thankfulness. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm incredibly thankful. And I know that Thanksgiving is coming up, and as we come to this date, anybody know the history of Thanksgiving? Well, let me read this. It says that Thanksgiving, obviously it's a national holiday in the United States, celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November, which is going to be the 22nd. It originated as a harvest festival, and Thanksgiving has been celebrated nationally off and on since 1789 with a proclamation by George Washington after a request from Congress. But celebration was intermittent until the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, when Thanksgiving became a federal holiday in 1863 during the American Civil War. Isn't that amazing that during that most difficult time in our American history that we would have the establishment of the day of Thanksgiving? So I want to talk about Thanksgiving and what I believe are important things about it. And so I ask this question: what are some of the things that you're thankful about today? The song that you started with today, Johnny, Count Your Blessings. I remember at a feast a couple of times as I was growing up that the song leader would say, "We're not going to say count your blessings one by one. We're going to count them ton by ton." So we had to change that. Count your many blessings, name them ton by ton. And, I got to thinking that's really a good approach to that, that we have a lot of blessings. And what are we thankful for? What am I thankful for? And what are you thankful for? And we have so many things to thank God about, don't we? The spirit of thanksgiving, that mindset that we have, is one of the most distinctive characteristics of a Christian, that we be that way. And when we have that, it shows that our hearts are attuned with God. And we should thank God always, every day, give thanks to God continually for all the things that He does through us. Even in the midst of trials and difficulties, we should give thanks to God. So what are you thankful about today? I want to say, I think this is something we're all going to be thankful about. Turn with me over here to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Because I do want us to start thinking about what it is that we are appreciative and thankful to God about. And what is it that allows us to have a heart and a mind of gratitude to Him? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we'll start with that. It says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Are you as thankful for that as I am, for the calling that we have, what God has planned for us by through His divine power, what He has given us in the things of life and godliness? And we're talking about eternal life and a future that is going to stretch forever. Imagine that. Can you imagine serving God forever and ever? Exceedingly great and precious promises. I am thankful for that, aren't you? I mean, that is, if I'm going to have a list, I think that goes at the top of what I'm thankful to God about. A calling and a future forever with Him in His kingdom and in all that He's going to be doing. So, what is thankfulness? Well, genuine thankfulness is an act coming from the heart and not necessarily an act and exercising of lip muscles, right? I mean, we can say thank you and we can show thankfulness with our words, but where does that all really start from? Right here. It has to start in the heart. And, we read this in Ephesians chapter 5, just a few pages back here from Peter. Ephesians chapter 5. I love this verse. I wish I could go around doing this all the time, but my wife can. I've never met a person that is more joyful than she is. I don't know if I could count on one hand the times I've ever seen her in a bad mood. Okay? Now, there are times when the kids thought differently, but she's just a joyful person. Man, do I appreciate that. But in verse 19 of chapter 5, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always." Giving thanks always for what? For all things. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? That is, I believe this is the mindset that we should have right there. So if you're ever melancholy and in a bad mood, turn to Ephesians 5:19 and 20 and read those. Giving thanks to God always, even in our trials and our difficulties. Gratitude. There's a difference between gratitude and thanksgiving. Gratitude is an offering precious in God's sight. He loves gratitude. And it is something that even if we're the poorest people in the world, we have gratitude. It doesn't make us poor. It makes us richer with God. Gratitude is so important. It's one thing to be grateful. You know, gratitude is what you feel, isn't it? Right? It's what we feel when we have gratitude. You just feel this humility and overwhelming thankfulness to God for all things. We have gratitude for each other. We're grateful for so much for each other in this room. And we're grateful for all that are in the body of Christ. And then there's thankfulness, which is a different aspect of that. You know, thankfulness is what we say, it's what we do, and it comes from the heart as well. And it is so important that we have that and that we be that way. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. I just want to give you a few scriptures here to set kind of the pace. But in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, it says, being careful of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. We have the greatest calling that there could ever be. We have God's opened His mind, or our minds, to His truth through His Holy Spirit. We recognize that He has a plan for us. Not only us, but everybody. I'm happy. That makes me happy. God is good. God is wonderful. God is awesome. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I have to really work on this, because I can be, you know, negative and stern and melancholy, and I don't need to be that way. I need to be thankful, appreciative, and joyful in the things and the way I approach things. You know, we all have something to be thankful for, don't we? Do you think you can be thankful even if you don't have many material things? We should. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am, find myself to be therewith content. It doesn't matter. Physical things aren't going to... We're not taking them with us. Physical things don't really matter. I would say, when it comes to physical stuff, get out of debt. You know, that's one of the most important things, because debt will cause you a lot of grief. But, you know, when we're in so much debt because we want so much stuff, then everything we labor for is to pay off debt. I hate that. About 4 years ago, we paid off the house. Woo! Man, we went out to dinner that night. That was pretty nice. Yeah, big spender too. It wasn't to McDonald's. But you know, we can be thankful even if we don't have much. And even if we're challenged with health issues, which I know all of us are to some degree, we can still be thankful. You know, God even allows trials. You know, there are trials that we bring on ourselves. You know, falling, that's bringing something on myself. Some of our health issues we bring on ourselves because we eat poorly, because we, you know, our lives, we didn't grow up with good, eating habits, maybe parents or whatever it is. But, you know, we're challenged, and sometimes we do all of that and we eat properly and we're still challenged with health issues. And, hey, it's okay. God is going to allow things to come our way. If it was left to us, there isn't anybody in this room that would want a trial, right? We just want life to be smooth. We want to sail that ocean that is just smooth. And we don't like choppy waters and big waves. But guess what? We're called to go through choppy waters and big waves, and we have to be able to do that. And we ought to be able to do it with thanksgiving, because that is what God wants us to do. Even if you're going through heavy trials and you know, severe tests, there are some counseling this week with a family that is going through a horrible situation because of something that their son did that has got him going to jail. And, you know, that's hard for parents. It's difficult. And, you know, there are sad times in our life. We were talking a little bit in the study just before discussing is that, life doesn't always have, isn't a bed of roses. We were looking at some of our Bible characters and talking about some of them and some of our favorite people, and they went through difficulties. Oh, and they were carnal just like we are. And they had to learn how to respond to God. And I believe that we have to learn how to respond to God with a mind and a heart of joyfulness and thanksgiving every day. Every day. And I believe if we're not that way, then I need to put Ephesians 5 up, you know, where I can see it, you know, in my dashboard or, you know, up there on the visor or someplace where I see it all the time. To me, having that appreciation and thankfulness to God is as important as to me as Psalms 19:14. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You know, that our thoughts and our words. That is something that I, you know, talk to God about all the time. Philippians 19:14. I think that's so important. And We are so blessed, and we don't even recognize it. And sometimes we are unappreciative to God when we should be. For frankly, everything in our lives flows out of the love that He has for us and the goodness that He has. And you do recognize that He knows each of us personally. He knows you personally. And you may think, no, He doesn't know me. Yeah, He does. He knows me, and He knows what I need in the way of difficulties and trials. He knows all of us, and He knows how to spank, put trials, bring to mind the things, you know, where we have shortcomings so that we can work on those things. And He does it for that purpose, because He wants us to work on that and to grow and to change. God is good, even though sometimes we think trials are bad. He loves us. And everything in our lives that is good has been initiated by Him. James 1, verse 17, one of my, you know, I have so many favorite scriptures. This is my next favorite scripture of all my other favorite scriptures. James 1, 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Where do all your good gifts come from? Where does all the good things in your life come from? God. From God. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Man, we can trust God. We can count on Him because He is never going to change. He is always consistent. And He loves us and He gives us good gifts. And He is continually showing us and teaching us and wanting us to, you know, recognize that He is a loving God. I was just thinking this morning, and when I was in prayer, that thought, God, You are so loving. Thank You. Thank You for all of Your care. Thank You. Thank You for trials, because You love me so much that You want me to grow and change. I believe we need to talk to God like that on a continual basis. And prayer shouldn't be ritualistic. Prayer should be intimate. It should be real personal conversation that we have with God. He enriches our lives in so many ways, and we have to thank Him. His generosity is overwhelming. His blessings are limitless. His love is endless. Even when we go astray, He still loves us, and He wants us to repent and come back. Do you believe this, that no one has favored us more than God? Do you recognize you are favored by God? That's pretty special, that God would favor us. He's removed our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's cleansed us. He's forgiven us. And He's redeemed us. And He's justified us. And when we do stumble, we have an advocate. And we can go ask for forgiveness. Man, there is nothing better than what He is doing for us. All God's grace abounds toward us. All of the riches that Christ spoke about in the New Testament that we have, they're available to us. All the spiritual blessings, you know, things that are spiritual that come through His Spirit, are provided and available to us. Man, we are blessed! Man, God is good. God is so good. Turn with me. You know, David, if you want a good example of somebody that could really thank God and talk to God, who is it? David. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms 9. I'm just going to read just a couple of these. Psalms 9. You know, you might want to go through the book of Psalms starting in chapter 1 and just, you know, pick up on the words and the heart and the way he spoke to God and the way he communicated with his Father in heaven, you know, our dad. I call God Dad because He's so precious to me. I love Him. But verse 1 says, I will praise You, O Eternal, with my whole heart. Man, what words. I will praise you, O Eternal, with my whole heart. I will show forth all your marvelous works. And we know he liked to do that with dancing sometimes. You know, I mean, he was joyful about it. He wanted to tell everybody about the great things that God was doing. I will be glad and rejoice in you, and I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And you know, you can go on and read other verses. You know, he says, verse 4, you've maintained my right and my cause. You sit in the throne judging right. And you know, he just talks about all the things that God is doing, and he has such a wonderful view of our dad. And I want that. And I hope we all will work towards that, having that view of our dad like David did. Another example is chapter 100, Psalms 100. And it's a short chapter, 5 verses. So let's just read all 5. Verse 1 says, Psalms 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Eternal, all you lands. Serve the Eternal with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That doesn't sound like a depressed, person, does it? No, it's come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Eternal, He is God. What a statement. Don't you know that the Eternal is God? And what that meant to David? What does that mean? God. He is a maker of all things. He sustains all things. He hangs this planet that we live on up on nothing. All these solar systems that are in, you know, he makes, there. You think about everything in all of the creation on this earth, all of the, you know, plants, animals, insects, all the microbials, everything is in perfect harmony. I can't do that. Only God can do that. So, yeah, come before His presence with singing. What an awesome, wonderful, loving God. Know you that the Eternal, He is God. It is He that has made us. This body is incredible. And not we ourselves, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with crying and sobbing and griping. Is that what it says? No. It says, enter into His courts with thanksgiving and enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Eternal is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Yes! I love that. Love that chapter. That is a marvelous, marvelous chapter. So many riches He has given unto us, so many answers to prayers that He's granted to me personally. I've had an instant answered prayer. I don't have time to tell you about it, but I will someday. I had an instant answered prayer once from God. And I think it saved my life. But He knows. He knows. And so many kindnesses that He's manifested, so many mercies that He's extended to me and to all of us. Everything that we have comes from Him. And that's the reason why our hearts can be joyful and so grateful. But you know, unfortunately, we sometimes forget that, don't we? Sometimes our problems become greater and our difficulties become greater than our praise and thanksgiving to God. And even knowing that all the things He's promised us, knowing all the things that are ahead for us, we lose that focus. And we become ungrateful. Anybody besides me? Yes. And unappreciative and gripey. And shame on us when we get that way. Wish we could all be like my wife, Kim. The Bible warns us about this condition, that in the last days people would be this way. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read here beginning in verse 1, just a few verses. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I believe we live in perilous times. Now. I believe they lived in perilous times in Paul's time, too, as well. For men shall, because human nature doesn't change, hasn't changed in 6,000 years, has it? There is an enemy starting in Genesis 3 and forward that has come down, and he messes with us. You know, he has brought a lot of grief. I look forward to everything being restored to pre-Genesis 3, you know, like it was in the garden when everything was perfect. God looked at it and said, this is good. Everything I've made is good. He had everything the way it should be. But we have an enemy. But it says, men, verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves. You ever seen that?
Oh, yes.
Yep. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's a mouthful. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Isn't it sad that you would be oppressed by those because you try to do good? I had a small example of that coming over here. Why is it that nobody drives a speed limit? So, you know, before you get to downtown here to the Horseshoe, you go coming in from the west at 70 down to 60, and then you get down to 50 when you hit 49, okay? Slows down to 50. How come nobody goes 50? I had people honking at me because I'm going 50, and they're flying by me, you know. Well, I won't say what they're doing, but they're not happy with me. Really? We're just trying to obey the law. Sorry, guys. But, you know, people will despise us for that. And why don't people like to obey the law? I don't get it. But it says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But you know, verse 2 there at the very end, unthankful and unholy. We have to be careful that we don't fit into these characteristics. And unthankfulness is one of them. That is one of the traits that we don't want to be there. You know, people don't really acknowledge God anymore. They don't want to give Him the credit that He deserves as the creator, designer, sustainer of all things. We can't forget that. We can't forget to show God how much we love Him for those things. People seem to forget and are no longer thankful that Christ died for them. Can you even imagine that? I'm thinking of myself. Can you imagine taking lightly the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? How horrible that would be. See, we have to always keep in mind what Christ and what God have done for us and show our appreciation and our gratitude. Just seems that it's a sad time when you don't have that. And isn't it sad? Have you ever noticed how even common courtesies have gone away? How many of you husbands open the door for your wife? Common practices. What happened to the word please? Would you like another cup of coffee? Yeah, I would. Instead of saying, please, thank you, that would be very nice. You know, what is this that we have lost even simple courtesies and, you know, simple things like that? It could be because of what we are influenced about all around us, because people don't even have good manners anymore. And I love to see good manners practiced. I love to see kind words spoken. I think we should go out of our way to be that way, because I believe that is showing appreciation, and it shows gratefulness and gratitude that God appreciates. So it's kind of like, have we become a bunch of spoiled kids? You know? We are spoiled. We are spoiled. You agree that? We're spoiled. Go camping in a tent and listen to the gripes and the complaints. Well, I don't have any hot water.
It's raining.
It's raining. Yeah, what are we going to do about rain? And we can't even put up with hardly anything that is, in a way of a difficulty. What if you had to wander for 40 years? Oh, no. That'd be tough. What if we had to wander for 2 weeks? We're just so spoiled. We're so spoiled that we don't recognize that we need to show appreciation. And, if we were in a national disaster, let's say all of the electronics went out, all electricity, how many of us would just say, okay, we're in a difficult time, we need to do this and do this, or would we start complaining? I'm just saying, we have to be mindful of these things. There was a warning given over here in Romans chapter 1. Remember, we're talking about why we want to be so thankful to God. We're talking about thankfulness. By the way, as we're turning to Romans 1, I wanted to mention this. We do know and recognize that Thanksgiving Day is not one of the holy days, right? It's not a holy day. But I have no problem with a nation wanting to give thanks to God. And by the way, it is more than the turkey you eat and the cranberries you have, okay? It's not about the meal. It is about showing the appreciation to God for the abundance that we have. He gets the credit. God is the one that gets the credit. But in Romans 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." We understand God by the things we see around us. I look around out here and I just am saying, God, you're amazing. You're amazing. Look at all this. Look at this beautiful flower. How is it that a pecan tree produces pecans year after year, and that when those things fall off and they get into the ground, that it comes up and it's a pecan tree and does the same thing generation to generation? And all animals are the same way. It's just God. It's God. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." That's sad. I'm just saying that God has no... God doesn't want to... God won't put up with that. He won't put up with the unthankful, unappreciative heart. What he'll do is he'll turn people over to reprobate minds and things like that. So let's stay close to God and stay, that way with Him. That, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to be thanking God about. And I just want us to remember that. Have you ever noticed that it's usually easier to have a heart that's happy when things are going great in your life? For the most part, a person who will usually say, "Praise God," when times are good. But will they say, "Praise God," when things are difficult? Job was a pretty good example, wasn't he? Boy, how would you like to have the trials Job had? God, Satan said, "Look at your servant Job, Dad. Take away all his blessings, and guess what? He'll curse you to your face." That's not what happened. Job still praised God. Job maintained his integrity. I want to be like that. Through whatever comes and whatever difficulties, that I would maintain the integrity from God and, to God, and that I wouldn't become ungrateful, and like his wife said, "Well, just curse God and die." Really? I don't want to be like that. I don't want that. The Bible does tell us that we're supposed to be thankful no matter what our circumstance. Just reminding us of this today. And we're reminded of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. That's in the New Testament, by the way. Just testing you. Okay, so in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, monumental statements here. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Is that our mindset? Rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. You don't have to be on your knees in your prayer closet to be praying to God. I pray to God all the time. I talk to Him all the time. It's a conversation. There are special times when I have special times with God in prayer, you know, in labor. And then verse 18, in everything being remorseful. Is that what it says? No, it says in everything giving thanks. In everything giving thanks. For this is the will of God. And Jesus in Jesus Christ concerning you. It is God's will that we be that way, that we're ever thankful. That's His will. It's the way He wants us to be. And so let's be that way. Let's work on that. Let's find ways. If you're not that way, and I'm not that way always, I have to go to Psalms and I have to read. Psalms 100 is pretty good. That's a pretty good one. So can we say and pray to God and give Him thanks and glory to Him for all the good things that we have in our life? Paul went on, you know, Paul encourages us to be thankful because God makes sure that all things work out for the good. You know, Romans 8:28, we read that. I won't turn to that one. And it's, you know, here's the thing. It's not that everything that happens to us in life is good, right? It isn't. The reality is not everything that happens in life is good. But God can cause good things to come out of even bad situations. We have to remember that. And when we get in those situations, then we have to be positive that way and pray to God and say, this is a difficult situation and not a good situation, but I know You can make it better, and I know You will make it better. And then be joyful and recognize and turn it to Him. Just turn it over to God and let Him be the one to help with all those things and to, you know, take care of those things. And let's not forget to praise God in our hardships and difficulties and the things that take it, you know. Write this down, Psalms 34:18. It says, the Lord is near to those with a broken heart. When you're sad, when you're going through difficulty, the Lord is near to those with a broken heart. We've all had broken hearts. Some have had more difficulties in those ways. God is near. God knows. God understands. Don't forget that. And then this is a wonderful verse, but, you know, I don't want it to be from the negative side. I want it to be from the positive side. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. New Testament again. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 9 says, and this is Paul speaking, and by the way, if you're really sad about the trials you go through, why don't you read about Paul's trials? Okay? Just read. Back in chapter 11, starting about verse 23 through 29, read those. Those are some of the things Paul went through. Some of the things he suffered for, you know, for the gospel and for truth. I don't want to be any less than that. I want to be able to suffer for a gospel, for truth, and for whatever Christ wants me to be able to, you know, learn and be. But chapter 12, verse 9 says, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. You remember he besought three times that he might be healed of an affliction. We don't know if it was eyes or whatever it was, if it was a, you know, a spirit that was bothering him, and he besought God three times. And guess what? He didn't get what he wanted. But this is what God's response was. Verse 9, He said, My grace is sufficient. And sometimes in our trials and difficulties, that is what God says. You're going to have to bear through it. My grace is sufficient. I love you enough, I'm going to save you. But maybe there's things to learn. My grace is sufficient for you. For My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's how we get stronger, is through trials, difficulties. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. That was Paul's approach. I love that. I want to adopt that. I think that's what we should all, adopt. That our strength be made perfect in weakness. Our strength and our trust in God and in the things that He's doing. I'm thankful. I'm a little over a year after a fall. I'm thankful I'm still living. I thank God every day. It's like I owe you, God. I don't know why I'm alive. I should be dead, but I'm not. So I want to serve you in every way that I can, and I thank you for preserving my life. I'm thankful that we live in the United States of America. I love the fact that this nation, it was founded on freedom. I love the fact that of all the nations in the world, this is the most Christian nation. Albeit, I know that it's slipping. But look, I'm just saying, Christ has been preached in America. I love that. I am so thankful. I appreciate that. I do know, that some would want to say, well, that's because of the blessings of Abraham. I don't buy into that so much, because I believe what it says in Genesis, that all nations of the earth would be blessed in Abraham. You know what that blessing is? Jesus Christ. All nations have been blessed with the opportunity to know and come to Christ. And there isn't a division anywhere. Nationalities, races, all are one. It's fantastic. It's marvelous. I'm thankful where we live. I'm thankful to be in America. I'm thankful that we're meeting here today in safety. I'm very, very appreciative for that. I'm also thankful that God is a forgiving God and that He's a loving God. I'm very thankful. And when we're going through trials, I try to remember this over this past year. It's been a long road, that whatever it is we're going through is not going to last forever in the way of difficulties. It's not going to last, forever. He's never promised any of us that we wouldn't go through tough times. What He did promise is that He'd be there and He'd help us through those tough times. God is good. He is wonderful. You could write down 1 Corinthians 10:13. I won't turn there. But it says there's no temptation that's taken you that isn't common to man. And that through those trials and temptations, He will make a way. He always does. He will make a way. And that is how we're able to bear it. And that's how we're able to deal with things. And we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful for a lot of things. I could probably go on with many, many other things. I think I've about made my point. But I do want us to turn over here to Luke chapter 17. Because this story that we're going to read ought to really, really have an impact upon us. I know that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God warned the children of Israel, don't, when things are going good and you're rich and you've increased houses and things are going great, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And, he said that in chapter 8 too. Things will be going good and you build houses that you live in houses you haven't built and you drink water out of wells that you didn't dig. Be careful lest you might, you forget the Lord your God, and we can never do that. But, we do at times. But this story here in Luke 17 is about the healing of the lepers. Remember this? Remember there was 10 lepers? So let's start reading this here in chapter 17, verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went through Jerusalem, that he passed through in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." There was a rule and a regulation that they had to be. They couldn't come, close, because they didn't want to, spread that. "And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, so you realize all that's said in that verse? Master, have mercy on us. He did. He had empathy. And he said to them, he was answering their request. He said, Go show yourselves to the priests. Took faith on their part to do that, right? They started. And as they went, hadn't reached the priest yet, they were healed. They were healed. And one of them, one, not ten, but one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Just one? That's heartbreaking. And fell down on his face at his feet giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't even one of the Jews. And Jesus said, Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. That is so impactful to me. That we have to give God thanks. That we can't remember, we can't forget. Those other guys, they went back to a normal life, right? But this is the one God recognized because he turned and he gave glory to God and he thanked him. And I think we need to be that way. And as we're here for Thanksgiving and we're heading into this time, there's a lot of things that I believe we personally, and I would encourage each of us to sit down and write just some of the things or a lot of the things or all of the things that you're thankful about, however, but write something down. And then, once you've written it down, go thank God for all of your blessings and all the things that He's given. And, you know, because He has been so good to each of us. He is so wonderful. And there's a lot of other verses we could read. But, you know, we're going to suffice with that. I'm thankful today. And I think we should be. Thank Him, and that we should thank Him that He has formed and made us. I'm thankful I'm alive. Are you thankful you're alive? I'm thankful that that I can breathe. I'm thankful that my head wasn't broken in my neck and I'm, you know, could be dead. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that He's given us this beautiful day and this beautiful Sabbath. And that we could be together in this beautiful place with beautiful people that are His children, my friends, my brothers and sisters. I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that He's working in each of us to perfect us and to bring us to all that He wants us to be. You know, the thing that says, be all you can be. I think we need to be all we can be in God because He wants a lot. And He has a lot for us to do. I think we should be thankful that He is working in our lives for good. We can't forget that. And I think that we should thank Him today that we've had our sins forgiven. And thank Him for peace. You know, the peace that we have in here, in our hearts. And thank Him, you know, for all the many blessings. And that the smiles that have come to our faces and that we have is because of the joy that we have in our hearts for the things that He has given us. And I believe that we should thank Him today with great words of exaltation, really positive words, and that our songs should be songs of celebration and joy, and that we should find joy in those things, and that we should thank Him for a heart of true devotion, strong devotion, and for thoughts of deep appreciation. I believe we should do that, and that we should praise Him for all the acts of things that He's doing for us. I have so much to be thankful for. Just a little presentation and maybe a thought-provoking message to help us look at ourselves and become more of a thankful people. And I want to close over here in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15, which says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." A sacrifice of praise. "That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Let us be that way. And as we are in this season of Thanksgiving, let us be a real thankful people. Let us remember God and thank Him for all things, even in our difficulties and trials. And I am thankful to be with you today.